Conor Pope joins us in studio to tell us about his new TV programme and to deal with your consumer issues. So The Price of Everything starts this Thursday at 7 o'clock on RT1.
Yeah, no, it couldn't be more timely, to be honest. And I have to say hats off to the programme makers and to RT for scheduling it in this way, because 6 months ago, nobody, you know, the price of stuff wasn't really front and centre in people's minds. Everyone was talking about the pandemic. Everyone was talking about COVID. And indeed, everyone is still talking about COVID. And now everyone is talking about the war in Ukraine. But on top of that, we've seen the worst inflation in Ireland for more than 20 years, and it's only going to get worse. According to the ESRI, inflation is likely to hit 8.5% by the summertime, and that's a rate of inflation not seen since the early 1980s, since we were boys in short trousers, right? So the price of stuff is going to really impact people in a big way in the months ahead. And this programme, The Price of Everything, which both myself and a lovely woman called Santis O'Gara are presenting, looks at the price of stuff. So we start off and we look at the price of food, and we just talk to people about how it's impacting their lives, and we talk to the policymakers and the people who maybe have an impact on how much food costs, and we try and get a sense of it, and then we try and give people tips and how to empower them and how to maybe cut a few corners without just saying, oh, you just need to shop around, because that's not bad advice. But it's not enough, because people need a little bit of help. So the idea of the programme is both shine a light on what's happening in the world, maybe look at why it's happening, and then offer people some options to maybe cut themselves a bit of slack. So it's broken down into various different sections. So the first episode will focus on food, which is like the most fundamental thing. And then, of course, there's going to be transport, the price of getting from A to B. There's going to be energy, there's going to be housing, children, because we both know that children can be pretty pricey. again, on every step of the journey that we take, and I hate to use the word journey because it sounds a little bit naff, I'm not going to lie to you, but on every step of that road, we'll say, okay, well, this is where we are. Everybody is going to feel the pain to some degree. Some people will feel the pain far more than other people. And as we both know, people who are on lower incomes are disproportionately impacted by inflation to a huge degree. And just maybe offer people some...
Yeah, so tell us a little about your co-presenter, Santis O'Gara.
She's fantastic. Now, Santis O'Gara, she has an Instagram account called Caribbean Dub. And basically, over recent times, she's documented how she went from being kind of having this huge debt of this millstone of debt around her neck, trying to just get by, working day to day, trying to just make ends meet. And she made a decision that she was going to fix the problem for herself. And she just started adopting all of these various strategies to get out of debt. And she documented that on Instagram. And it really took off. People love her account. And it's really, like, her account is full of...
She has lived it.
She has absolutely lived the experience, as I think we all have to a certain degree, more or less. But as I say, so she's come from this background where she's a single mother. She managed to get herself out of debt. And an awful lot of her advice is just really common sense stuff. But it's good to hear it, because I think we do need that kind of common sense approach sometimes.
How long have you been doing what you do?
Let me see. It's probably 18 years,
yes,
maybe.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll never forget. The first time I was contacted by the Ray Darcy Show in a different form, right, was the day Roy Keane was sacked by Manchester United.
Right.
And I got an email from your then presenter, Will. He said, would you want to come on the show and talk to us for a few minutes about prices or whatever it might have been? And I'd already been doing Price Watch in the Irish Times for a couple of years at that point. So you were slow to the races there, Ray. I'm not going to lie to you.
The reason I asked you that question is to show that you have been doing this for an awful long
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. But this job...
But this the period we're going through now...
It's different.
It's something you've never experienced before in those 18, 20 years.
Absolutely. Now, because we've been through booms and we've been through busts and then mini booms again and the pandemic. But it feels different this time, because this feels like we could be in it for the long haul. And I think people are going to need as much support and help. And they're also going to need people with platforms to highlight price increases and say, hey, lads, this isn't good enough. We need to do better as a society. We need to be looking out for the people who can't afford it. And we need to be asking questions of the people in power to say, just hang on, why is it that this costs that much? And that can be anybody from government ministers to supermarkets to energy companies.
Service providers. The Price of Everything, put it in your diary, Thursday at 7 o'clock on RTE1. Now, one of the programmes is on energy, and our email today is about that topic. I'm very annoyed as I type this. A few weeks ago, I moved from Electric Ireland to Bord Gáis Energy and availed of a discounted rate of energy and entered a year-long contract. Almost as soon as I made the switch, The company announced they were increasing their prices by nearly 40%, which means I am now going to end up paying more than if I had not switched. Are they not legally obliged to honour the terms of the year-long contract they offered me?
This is an interesting question. I think an awful lot of people will be impacted by this. So to make it kind of the way that sector works is there's a standard rate of electricity that's charged. And then if you're a new customer, you can avail of a discounted rate for a period of a year. And we've talked about that on the show in the past. But the discounted rate that you if you sign a contract for a year, the discounted rate is tied to the standard rate.
Like a tracker mortgage is tied to the ECB.
It's a variable rate. That's the perfect way of putting it. Yeah. So I kind of, when I was coming in today, I was kind of like, okay, how to put it into plain numbers. So I'm not going to lie, my maths isn't brilliant. So let's say if the standard unit rate was 100 euros, okay? And the price went up by 40%. So suddenly the standard unit rate is 40%, is 140 euros.
Yes, yeah.
But you're on a discount of 30% on 140 euros. So you're still paying, you might be paying 101 euro and 120
yes.
or whatever it might be. Yeah. So
it's tied to the standard rate.
Exactly.
And that is determined by Ukraine or whatever is
exactly.
going on in the world at that particular time.
Yeah. And what we saw last year, we saw multiple price increases by all of the energy companies that had added around 600 or 700 or 800 euros onto the average cost of heating and lighting your home over the course of a 12-month period. And when we were talking about this on the show in past months, we thought, well, it's bad, but hopefully as we head into the summer of 2022, things will ease off and things will get better. And little did we know that, in fact, things were going to get a whole lot worse. Now, we always have to talk about this with perspective because it's unimaginably worse for the people of Ukraine.
Of course.
So so me talking about having to pay an extra 400 or 500 or 600 euros in energy costs is small beans. It means nothing compared to the horrors that those people are living through. But it still means something to
the
people here.
But the West gets a huge percentage of its gas and oil from Russia.
Yeah, and the thing is, Ireland gets virtually none of its. Ireland gets no gas from Russia. But what happens is, because we get all our gas from the North Sea, we get it from the west of, you know, off the west coast of Ireland, and then we get so that's where our gas comes from. But the way the market works and the way the market has been designed in Europe, it's all interlinked. So if Russia supplies a huge amount of the gas to Germany, and then Germany suddenly finds itself unable to access a huge percentage of that gas, well, then Germany has to go shopping in the same places that Ireland would have gone shopping.
Supply and demand,
and
that will
see prices going up. So, like, Bord Gáis Energy were the first out of the traps, and they increased their prices by 39%, I think, for gas, and I think electricity went up by 27%. Last week, another one of the companies announced price increases that were pretty high. And the reality is that this person might feel aggrieved because they thought, well, if I just stayed with Electric Ireland, I'd be on a lower rate than I am now because I've switched to Bord Gáis Energy.
That's not the case.
But
is
like
it?
All of the companies tend to move in tandem. They don't, they Bord Gáis Energy are not looking to increase their profits by 40%. Bord Gáis Energy will have increased their prices because that will be how much the wholesale price of energy has jumped.
They're still
by.
Making profits, though.
They're making profit, but they haven't decided, you know what, lads, we're going to make an extra 40% profit this year.
Yeah.
So those price increases have been forced upon them because of what's happening on the global markets.
Yeah.
And similarly with Electricity and Energia and Electric Ireland, they're all facing the same difficulties. And as a result of the price increases, one company rollout 1 week will be mirrored by another company the next week and then another company next week. So the person is still better off having switched than they would have been had they stayed put. They're just not as well off as
they
might have
been
if the price increases
hadn't
been rolled out.
Can I bring you back 2 Mondays ago, and you had predicted on when you were talking to me on the Monday that the government might cut the excise duty on fuel.
That's right.
So as soon as they introduced it, it was negated by the rise in prices.
Yes and no. I mean, what we saw is that there was the fuel prices on the forecourts were heading towards 2 litres.
€2 a litre.
And, you know, and then it kind of was reaching that point, and then the government announced an excise cut of between 15 and 20 cent. And then a lot of forecourts, suddenly the price of fuel was €2.14. And everybody's going, well, that's just totally wiped out the excise cut. But if you look around the forecourts of the country today, the prices are around 180.
Okay. So it did work.
If you'd said to me this time last year, that we would be saying, oh, it's not so bad now. The price of fuel is only 180 a litre.
What was it this time?
It was about 135.
Okay.
So it's still gone up massively.
Yes, yeah.
Even with the excise cut and even with the slight
and
easing
off. There's talk now, because these things don't happen overnight, but there's talk now of everything that's going on accelerating our sort of emphasis on renewable and sustainable forms of energy, like building wind farms off the coast of Ireland. But they don't happen overnight.
No, they don't. But it's important that we don't just give up and say, oh, well, we can't do it straight away, so let's not do it at all.
Okay.
The only answer to this fossil fuel driven crisis is ending our reliance on fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, as Eamon Ryan, the Green Party leader, and like they've been banging this drum for a long time. So, and I think he said recently, I saw a quote, you don't resolve the fossil fuel crisis by investing more in fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. And that, I'm paraphrasing him. But that's the bottom line. You have to invest in renewables. And you know what? We're really lucky in this country because it's kind of windy offshore. So we have all of that, those natural resources that can be used to power this country, but it'll take 5 years or 7 years. But God, wouldn't it be great to just say, right, we'll do it now. And that means that in 7 years' time, when we're talking about this item in 2029 or whatever, we won't have any reliance on fossil fuels. Because at the moment, I think we're about 40% we're reliant about 50-55% of fossil fuels. And it shouldn't be like that.
I think 70-30 is one of the targets they're hoping to meet. Conor, thanks very much. Good luck with the price for everything on Thursday night, 7 o'clock. That's it from us. Cormac is on the way with Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy your Monday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.